This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
First step of the new year going well. Joining me is Vishnu and Orko. Thank you guys for taking time.
Yeah, hi.
So my name is Naveen Petra. I lost 100 kilos. That's why I look like this. Right
now. Where is Naveen, by the way?
Naveen is at the Hockey World Cup. He's gone to Bhubaneswar or Rourkela, wherever that's happening. I think he's gone to both places. But anyway, he'll come back and take over the duties whenever that is. But in the meantime, we initially had an idea of doing a live or something immediately after we did the roadmap came out. But I or Orko or Vishnu was not really convinced that anything major came out of that roadmap. So we did not do that. But I think now is as good a time as any to let's talk about some of the salient points in this. I'll come to you, Orko, first. They said a lot of things about the commercial value of AIFF, about raising 500 crore, 5,000 crore, whatever the number that came to their mind at that point. So, where do you see it? Like, considering the fact that their current income, all inclusive, according to their own statistics and their own data, is 80 crore.
Yeah, and if you, if anyone does the math, they know that AFF will have to grow by more than 100% every year to get to that figure, right? 500 crore by 2026. I mean, the math is just crazy. I mean, on top of the math, the ambition is also crazy. When all of your revenue is coming from one party, right? One private party, right? So are you going to them and are you saying, listen, this is the value of Indian football right now and you have to pay this much? Or do you have an open market bidding system? Do you be like, you know, there are parties who are involved, right? So for example, we know that, you know, DAZN has done this in a lot of countries where, you know, it has overpaid for TV rights, right? Stuff like that. So for me right now, the numbers don't add up. It just doesn't. Like 500 CR, as it is, a lot of people tell me Indian football is a bit overvalued. Like the sponsorships that clubs get are just purely due to connections. There is no intrinsic strategic investment. There is no strategic investment by any of the sponsorships. It's not IPL, right? Or it's not Pro Kabaddi also. So the Indian football's numbers hardly justify the sponsorship they get now. So 500 CR, seems like a pipe dream for me right now.
What about you, Vishnu? What's your take on this?
Yeah, I think, they've come up with this figure, but they don't really say very clearly how they're going to get there. Like, it's just, we have a target, but is it realistic? How are you going to get to that target? I don't think they know, to be honest. It's not that they know and they're not putting that in the plan. I don't think they know. And speaking of India, forget growing by that much. Just growing is not an easy task for Indian football, considering the state that we are in right now. Growing by any target is not easy. Like, how are you going to do it? You have a league where every league, to be honest, like the audiences have been declining. If you take pre-pandemic and whatever is right now,
we are the most watched league in Asia. Just so you know. Mm-hmm.
Really,
more about Asian football than Indian football. So, if that is true, not true.
TV or TV? You're talking about television?
I don't know, man. I don't think any of those things are true. But
where have you read this?
I think ISN only had a tweet out. I think I am not going to confirm, but I think they had a tweet out some days back.
Chinese people stop watching football? I don't know. Anyway, go on.
I mean, their whole teams are all going under, no? So could be a whole other thing. Yeah. Sorry,
Vishnu. Yeah, there is no way to, you know, reach this target, whatever they've set. And to be honest, like, as Arka said, whatever Indian football gets right now, it's a bit player salaries, everything. It's not exactly reflective of, you know, logic.
Yeah.
So to grow even further, if, like, it's like blowing into a balloon that's already pretty inflated. It's only a matter of time before it bursts. So, I don't know how, like, what's the science behind it and what's, like, the science through which they arrived at this figure. And this is the thing. The one thing that struck me when I came across this first was, how are they going to, like, forget, like, this much of growth? If they had just said, we are going to grow and laid out a plan to even grow by 2 or 3% every year, a plan that actually made sense and was doable, that would have been much, much, much better than setting these really huge targets and just vaguely saying that, yeah, we'll get there somehow, one way or the other.
So, I have an inkling of what happened. Essentially, every World Cup, we pick up on some country, right? This is the Japan effect. This is the Japan effect. Someone has read on Twitter, it's a 100-year plan. We'll make a 25-year-old plan. Right, but I mean, and as someone pointed out, right, administrative status keep changing there. What do you say? What are their priorities? That keep changing. So how do you know, like, the next person's going to execute this vision, right? Is there a buy-in from any party? Yes, we said Arsene Wenger is going to come and design, but like...
This is the thing. It's cleverly worded. Arsene Wenger's team. The headlines have gone as Arsene Wenger, but I was checking and seeing which is Arsene Wenger's team.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be anybody. He could have a team member in India only, directly go and...
Arsene Wenger leads projects at FIFA. So it's FIFA people, basically. FIFA members.
Yeah.
No, but I, like Vishnu was saying, right? I mean, just take player salaries, for example, right? There are Kyrgyz and Tajik players playing in our second division, I-League, right? De facto second division. For... between $25,000 to $50,000 per annum, which is between, let's say, 20 lakh to 40 lakh rupees, right? And our national teamers get paid a multiple of that, right? Like 2x, 3x, 4x, right? Now, what happens when India faces these countries? Like, how many times out of 100 does India have a favorable outcome? So, taking India's standard in Asian football, the logic doesn't fit, bro. Doesn't fit, right? There are South Asian countries we know where people are mad about football, right? I went to Vietnam recently. Dead rubber, 5,000 people were there. 5,000 people were there for dead rubber. Nobody. And insane atmosphere. Insane atmosphere. People are paying money to get in. You're not seeing that right now in any Indian football match, right? And they pay their players what? Like 10 lakh a year, 6 lakh a year, this... That is logical. We have, I don't know, it's hugely overvalued. The market's on the verge of a bubble. I don't, forget growing, remaining even, you know, on par. I don't know. I don't know what's in store.
That's the interesting part, right? They are commercial partners, their league. There is no television revenue. Unless you figure out a way that, okay, the contract is coming to an end, you go to a new network. Which looks, to me at least, it looks more than likely that they'll move to a next network. And then you can think about, okay, can they make enough money from there? Do you have sponsorship coming? Because are there viewers enough? A lot of these smaller tournaments, they're, you know, putting it out on YouTube and stuff like that. I don't think how many people are watching it, or there are enough people watching it to get more money. And whenever there is somebody who's coming to invest, 2-3 months later, they are gone. Like something and all has happened behind the scenes. This fellow, that ego got hurt, and this ego was massaged, and the wrong ego got upset. These things happen at the state level, at the district level, at the national level. So eventually we are at a situation where it's sort of status quo. Things are running as they are running. But if tomorrow, God forbid, FSDL says, okay, you know what, we did it for 10 years, done. Just like, you know, NFL happened before, I-League happened before. ISL also says, I'm done. I'm not propping up the teams anymore. I'm not doing any of these things. Go find your own market. It's a free market. Pay your players what you want to pay. Whatever they say, suddenly you're gone. Suddenly it's all up in the air. What is the league? Is there a league? What happens to the teams? Which league do they play? Who's going to pay for them? You know,
we see a highly overvalued 18 or 20 team I league. That's it.
Yes.
Right? And yes. Then it becomes a white elephant because anyway, people are struggling to have 20 matches home and away. When you have 36 matches home and away, then you have clubs shutting down every week.
Yeah,
financially.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the commercial side of it. Now let's look at the leagues. They want to improve the number of clubs. They have 7,000 clubs, development clubs in the 10,000, 60,000, whatever number they put. I can't remember off the top of my head, but very ambitious numbers. I do think there are a lot of clubs existing, which they are not helping.
Yeah.
Like the very next day, I think that whole thing came out in Manipur, where the club who finished first 2 years in a row was not nominated for second division, and the club who did not finish there was given because
finished fifth.
Yeah, what was the term they used? Some turmoil there.
Trauma.
Yeah, trauma. Because they did something and got suspended, and they had trauma about it. I mean, Manipur is one of the better leagues in the country, right?
Not one of the better run federations. It's a
talking about quality in terms of football.
Quality,
one of the
very
better
good
leagues in the country.
Quality very good, 100%. Yeah.
this is what is happening. We have the clubs. Are they going to do anything to help them?
There are Delhi, for example. Take where I'm sitting right now. 96 clubs are registered, at least.
Bangalore has over 100.
More.
KSFA has over 100.
Yeah, 70 alone, I think, wanted to get into the C division this time.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot more, but they won't have like a lot. All of them have voting rights. Some of them are like members, but without voting rights.
Associate.
Which they can get. Yeah, associate members.
Yeah, I get it. Delhi has like 96 clubs. I think about 5 or 6 pay salaries. 5 or 6 are professional. Right. And you look at somebody who comes into Indian football, right? The first thing he does is Google Indian football. What are the headlines that come up? Right? There you have your answer. Right there. Right?
What are the headlines that come up? I don't know.
I mean, how many of those are stories that make you go, wow, yeah, you know, let me go invest in Indian football right now.
Let me Google. Indian.
Now it might be better, I think.
Indian men's national team receives invites to WAFF championship. Okay, fair
wow.
enough.
Wow. Oh, that's the flavor of the day.
Yeah. So that's come now. We'll talk about that down the line. Vishnu, what's your...
No, speak about the targets, right? That they've set 2026 targets. I think we spoke about
it. Yeah, I just wanted to get Vishnu's take on the leagues. Because having worked in Chennai, he should know.
Indian football's club model, models for club is pretty simple right now. I mean, it's unless you bring in one or two exceptions for every 100, this is what works, what happens with the other 98. So there'll be one guy, incredibly passionate, moderately rich background, can afford to blow a very limited amount of money on the club. He'll put together a club. He'll source all the local players, all the local experts. He puts together a club. He enters the district league, operates it. Incredibly passionate about it, blows a lot of money in it. If he's lucky, he gets to say like the second division I league or whatever. If he's if he's unlucky, he gets to the second division I league because that means he'll just blow through his money faster. If he had just remained in the league, he would have probably been able to last for a lot longer. And then after dealing with Indian football, dealing with the officials, dealing with the way the whole thing is done, the honor is done and the club is over. That's it. There are like countless examples of this. In
yeah, when you were saying, I was thinking of 4 clubs that I personally...
Exactly. Just 4 clubs that come to your mind. So, getting to a number is not that difficult. You will find a lot of people like this who will just come in and do this. The thing is, you should have drawn out a mechanism to create an environment to assist and nurture a club that is coming up, and then something to, you know, like some sort of a framework to help them find the sponsors and the money to fund their projects. And you should have, that is what you should have created. I mean, It's not about achieving this number. You can achieve any number you want. The tough task is not getting them. The tough task is getting them to stay. That has always been the case in Indian football. You can have 1 million clubs if you try. If you get out and in a country where campaigning and selling a message, a foolish idea works very well, you can get a number of people to come out and do this. But the challenge is not doing this. Challenge is not getting to that number. The challenge is getting these clubs to stay and getting these clubs to stay long enough for them to create a meaningful impact on Indian football, which right now is not. I think if you look at it, the shelf life of a club right now would probably be like around 6 years. Yeah, awesome. 4 years. I'm optimistic.
Yeah,
four, five, six max. Yeah. Nothing's going to change in Indian football. They won't do anything. How can you develop one player in like 4 or 5 years? You can't.
10 years.
So that is, see, that getting people in has never been the problem for Indian football.
Yeah. Getting then, and you forgot the most important bit, right? At the end of 4 years, the father calls the idiot son and says, stop messing around with Indian football. It's a waste of time. And for some reason, it's always the idiot son who's always involved with Indian football. Like, I'm sorry, it's a pattern. I just have to say it.
I mean, let us not call him idiot son. We'll call him the passionate son who thought he could do the right thing even though nothing was sort of helping
kudos,
him.
Kudos for his passion, but he should really have done some market research on Indian football. Sorry. This basic.
At least those guys are putting money. But anyway, so this is the situation with the clubs. Now, Orko mentioned about the national teams. We had some really funny lines in our group, which I don't think we can use.
Before the national team, I thought, I'll just like to put it in because I thought there was something that was going to be said about one major way in which this one, this roadmap deviates from the last is that they're giving a lot of importance to the Santosh Trophy, which the last one did. According to the last one, the Lakshya, I think, Santosh Trophy was not exactly given that much of a pride of a place.
Federation Cup was.
Federation Cup was, yeah. But this time, it's Santosh Trophy. And what struck me was, I thought this year Santosh Trophy would be different. But when they started the Santosh Trophy in Kerala, and Santosh Kerala were playing in Kozhikode, it was on a Monday at 3:30, and I was like, yeah, nothing sticks. Who's going to go watch football? Everybody will be at their jobs. And you are getting like, if you had just held it in the same city at maybe 8 o'clock or something, you would have had people. Instead, you hold it on a Monday, that is the Monday after Christmas at, like, and it was either, it was a Monday, if I remember right. Yeah, it was a Monday. And at 3:30, like, do you want people to come watch this or are you just going through the motions? And this is exactly what would have happened 2 or 3 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. So in that respect, you can go hold the semifinals wherever you want, Saudi Arabia or wherever. But as long as the way you're building up the tournament is like this, what's the point of it all?
So I covered Santosh Trophy before the early rounds when it happened in Bangalore and all. And it's the same thing, right? They play 3 o'clock on a weekday, whatever, whatever. But fair enough. What happens with the Santosh Trophy, I think, at least to be fair to Robert Bann, he was looking after one cup tournament in the league. So these guys, because last year, by some chance, it was held at a place where people are just crazy and they are going to go and watch. And the home team did really, really well.
That is the lightning
in the bottle. You know, suddenly everybody is like, oh, Santosh Trophy live stream, 1 lakh people are watching. Look at the passion in the stands and everything. Now they are like, Santosh Trophy is the way to go. And then we say in Malayalam, Tadaiva, back to the old ways. Back to the old ways. Yeah, Kolhapur has great crowd in the weekdays during morning and afternoon matches. They do. But there are pockets. It happens in Manipur. Yeah. And I went there. There were a lot of people there watching the early rounds and stuff like that of local leagues and everything. But Delhi, Bangalore and all, it's not going to happen. Karnataka played in Delhi. I think now Northeast round is coming. I don't remember where they're hosting. Manipur or something it's hosting. Maybe we'll see more people there. But what is the difficulty in pushing it to 4 o'clock, right? Especially down on this side of the...
Expense of floodlights. That is the issue.
Because there is sunlight here up until 6, 7. So you can play. You can't do it in the Northeast and all, definitely, no.
You can't do it in Delhi also now.
In Delhi also. So you figure out some way around it or do it on a weekend.
And how much expenses does it really add? Probably the expenses that these guys incurred to go to the FIFA World Cup and stay there for 1 month could have funded the floodlight for Santosh Trophy for the entire tournament. So
no, we can't say that. You know, we can't say that. He was there. He was doing work there. Some people from one particular fan club argued with all of us saying he was doing important work there. Just because he's tweeting about the World Cup doesn't mean he's not doing work there. You guys are always being negative.
World Cup also, there were three or four delegations from the people from the Indian FA and the state FAs who were doing important work there.
Yeah. So, who said that representation? Who said India
is
not?
This is a funny story. So, for those of you who don't know, I worked in Chennai for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I covered Tamil Nadu football for 8 years. Pretty much at some point of my, during my work there, I've come across pretty much everybody who worked in Tamil Nadu football. But the first and the only time I've ever come across the president of the Tamil Nadu Football Association was in Russia. I've never seen him in Tamil Nadu. I've only met him in Russia. So, shows you what kind of important work they're doing there. What translates to what happens to the game they're supposed to be looking after in India.
Absolutely. Now let's look at the national team ambitions, right? 2026 top 7.
Unless
like some 15 of them stop playing, this is not
no. We choose a nuclear option. I think 5 or 6 countries get formed completely.
See, they said we can't say unless okay.
Top 10. They said top 10 by 2026, right?
Top 7, I think. But yeah, let's say top 10. Let's be very fair.
Top 10, right? Let's exclude the 6 who gone to the World Cup, okay? I'm sorry, members of that fan base. I know you're super deluded, but sorry, your hero's not going to take you to top 10 by 2026. Let me just categorically say it now, right?
Yeah. So, who are you talking about? Okay, leave it.
Anyway, my point is, you have 6 World Cup nations, right? 6 World Cup nations. Not touching them. Who are next? Iraq, Vietnam, UAE, Oman, right? Did I say Syria already? Syria, Uzbekistan, right?
Look at the Asian countries, man. I was watching the Mitsubishi Cup. Their level is really high. Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, all of them are good.
But people will take that one match we beat them in 2019 Asian Cup and be like, 4-1, we defeated them. We'll defeat them every time, right? We drew against Qatar, nil-nil, we'll draw against them every time, right? We only consider 2 goals against UAE. That's the thing. It's not like cricket. It's not 2 for no loss. It's 2-0. It might as well have been 10-0. It might as well have been 10-0. There's no difference, right? What is the domination of these matches, right? We might scrape one result or two against we are 19th in Asia right now, by the way, right? And that, I think, is a fair reflection of where our football is. I would put us somewhere between 18 to 24, currently on the standard of play, right? Those guys, like top 8, 10 are untouchable, right? We might get one or two off results against them. China, we got a 0-0. There also we struggled. Let's be very honest, right?
China since has not done anything great. They have actually gone down.
China, if you look at their performance in the final round, they were probably 11th out of 12 teams in that entire IA. Qatar, 0-0. But like an aberration. 26 shots they had. We had 2 shots. Like a complete aberration, right? I mean, top 10, unless, you know, another way we have of gaming the rankings, we're not doing it. We're not getting there. And honestly, like I said, I mean, who are the nations above us that we can realistically? Maybe one of the lower rung West Asian nations, like the B-tier or C-tier
That will be, even Kyrgyzstan and all is not easy. It's not easy.
Who said it's easy? It's not easy.
Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, all of them are tough.
When we played Kyrgyzstan in the World Cup,
very real prospect of Russia coming in as well. So that's what it's
not. Oh, yeah.
When we played Kyrgyzstan in the Asian
Cup, okay, one team only will go.
We lost once to Kyrgyzstan, I think, when we played that Asian Cup qualifying round. We lost once and we beat them once.
We beat them at home.
Yeah, and we lost away, I think, right?
I think lost our draw, but we beat them at home. I was there for that.
I remember us losing to Jordan as recently as, I think, 3 years back, and what a howler that was. But, yeah. But, so, I mean, where are this top 10? And top 6, women's football, I think, is top 6, right? That is
We'll get to women's football
I mean, targets, like I said, I mean, if you want to add, you can add to it.
No, so it's completely ridiculous because in 3 years, as I said, I see only one plausible way for people to, Indian football to reach this target, which is enabling the use of PIOs from next year. And then by 2026, you have a team that is made up of 6 or 7 players who are based out of the country who developed in, better footballing cultures. And then you can maybe come and say stuff like top 10 and all. But if you are looking at producing players in India, then what are you going to do in 3 years? Do you think the current 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds, if you give them 3 years of Pep Guardiola coaching them, do you think they'll convert into a player who's good enough to hold up against Australia and South Korea and all that? No, that's not how it works. I mean, it may work in some other alternate reality, but not in this one.
In world movies.
You need at least 15 to 20 years to develop
a get John Abraham to be his
player. If you try now, you might get a top 10. It should be, India will be top 10 in Asia in 2050. That should be the target. And that too, if you start...
But they only went to 2047. The 50 is a whole other thing. 25.
Why don't you talk about the targets?
No, I give them props because they took a 25-year timeline. However, it may or may not happen. At least they didn't go in 8 years we'll be in the World Cup. No, that's generally how the...
Since we are talking about Asia, again, I would like to point out one more thing. Is that... 2018 Asian Games, India was the only country from the top 20 to not even send a team. So that's where you're starting from.
With legit reason.
But that reason is there, right? That people think they're just going there for the... So that is the standard we are at right now.
Yeah, no, invest in lawn bowls. They won a bloody gold, right? They won a bloody gold at the last event. Invest in lawn bowls. Invest in one of those obscure sports, we might win a medal or two. I'm serious, right? why would you say
that? I think people are looking at sports events like how Neeraj Chopra came up or how a bunch of people came up in badminton as evidence that they're pointing at it as evidence that it can be done. But football doesn't work like that. I mean, one person accidentally coming up does nothing to football or nothing to the team in general. So you need 11 or a pool of 20 players, 20 really good players will not come up. Will not come up by, accident. There has to be the proper culture for it. There has to be a proper plan for it. And it's certainly not going to happen in 3 years. It's not going to happen in 5 years, not going to happen in 10 years. Because, think of it. We know this, we have gone through this. We took a bunch of kids, we sent them, hired two highly regarded coaches, at least with on their CVs. You gave them, you only got one. Them to play all the best.
Only one.
Gave them all the exposure you possibly could for 3 years. You sent them to all corners of the world. And they still were comfortably the worst team in the tournament and the 2017 Under-17 World Cup. And none of those players, after graduating to senior level, have proved to be anything better than existing quality. So,
you know what is funny? The players that we're talking about as the standouts now, Appuya being the one exception, more or less.
One exception. No. Appuya.
Let's say Dixon also, because he's consistently playing at least. But the others are all nothing to do with him. Liston got nothing to do with it. Who is that other fellow? I forgot. Okay, anyway.
Abu had a very minor part to play in that whole World Cup squad.
He didn't play much. Yeah.
He was one of the reserves.
Another one who I had huge hopes for, Aman Chetri, who never...
retired.
Yeah, he never really caught on for whatever reason that may be.
Because Aman Chetri had a proper birth certificate. That's what happened. People started... people compared him to people who are actually 4 years older to him. And when that happens, you eventually get bogged down. It happens.
He was with Chennaiyin for a while. He was with Chennaiyin reserves team for a while. But he never made the step. It was all injuries. Like, even in the run-up to that, I can say that probably by... the way he was taken care of after his injury while he was with the squad probably led to his early retirement like this.
If you remember
a lot of all the media were chatting on a lot of hype was there on Dheeraj when the Under-17 World Cup was going on. Like, the people were coming in saying this club was coming to looking at him, that club was looking at him. He's actually the one player who's way better than the rest and who can maybe. But then, because even people look at goalkeeping, they see shot stopping, they don't see any of the other things and positioning or ball distribution or anything. They don't look at any of that. And look at where Dheeraj is right now. I mean, he's...
People should watch his games.
Look at the captain Amarjeet. There's a message from Ashu saying Amarjeet and Suresh, neither one of them have lit the world on fire. Suresh plays there, but I don't know how much of a value add he is adding to that team. Like, someone with a lot of legs, that's what he's done. And Amarjeet kept losing his spot in the teams. He kept getting pushed from one team to the other. So
these under-17 boys are going to get pushed like these under-17 girls are now getting pushed. There has to be a justification for this World Cup. This is the justification for this World Cup, right? How do we justify this exorbitant expenditure?
That's what I'm saying. So Ashu 26 is saying Amarjit, Suresh, Anwarali. That is all.
Anwarali is good. I do.
Yeah, I'm saying. All these players are good, okay. But then these players had access of to 3 years of things that no other generation in
no other kid in the
had. So are they that are they like that much better, or are they levels ahead of the current lot? No, they're not. They're pretty much there in terms of quality. They may be slightly better than most, but that's it really. So
that also I won't agree, because I always said it's right for us to expect more from these guys. Because they've been given more.
Everything.
And
Everything. Even previous Indian age group batches have not been given.
Definitely not.
But you look at the national team, the ones who are actually playing well for the national team, or who are, you think of as good players of the national team, you would only put Apuya there. Apuya will be a hands-down guy, and Anwar Ali, now that he's proved... ISL is not too beyond his level. He's actually very comfortably best Indian centre back now.
Yeah.
Nobody else is there. No. And like you said, both of you said, it's justification that has to be given because you spent, I wrote a story on the money that they spent. I don't remember how much it is, but it's an insane amount of money on exposure.
When you spent like that, if you say the current Indian players are, at level 5 with... you expect these players to be at least at a level 7 or 8, right? But they're not. They're at level 5 and a half at best.
No, they're worse than some people who never got this.
Exactly. Never got these things. So that itself is proof that you can do whatever the hell you want in 3 years, but you are not going to produce the good players that are significantly better than the other. For that, you need at least 20 years of effort. Any half-respected football coach will tell you this. You don't. It's not exactly rocket science or some sort of secret that is known only to the elite coaching citizens of the world. But any half-respected guy will tell you this. But for some reason, and I'm sure, I must admit that my interactions with Shaji Prabhakar, and ever since he stepped down as from his role at FIFA has been very limited, probably non-existent. So I don't know the guy as much as you guys do, but I'm assuming he also knows this, considering he's gone and seen how other countries do this as FIFA's development officer for the region. So there is there's no excuse for coming up with this frankly unachievable and stupid goals without like that is 100 and it's basically like the manifestos of political parties just before the election.
Yeah, I want to ask Nadeem how many minutes Vikram has played this season and what he's done in the last 3 years in the league cumulatively. Really just want to ask Nadeem. Anyway.
Yeah, and also, I mean, to be fair, like I also have too many interactions with Shaji, hardly ever, I think. But what I often hear is people telling me what is happening on the background through him, right? Mm-hmm. With people in the association and everything. I am not ready to completely bash Shaji for everything because I think some things which we can't discuss here, he has done well or he's planning to do well. But there are other things, obviously, that he will have to show that he is doing a good job rather than...
What are the other targets? Qualify to under 17, both World Cups by 2026? Or 2030?
Whatever that is, it's not going to work. So, but yeah, and then there was a women's football thing. This is pretty interesting for me because they think they can, you know, catch up to that highest level much faster. The gap is not that much. They're overhauling the administration. They're getting the whole thing, jazz and pizzazz and razzle dazzle and do all the other things that they have to do for women's football. I don't know where this is going again. Because one thing I noticed is, and I wanted to ask Orko more because, you know, you've worked in this field a lot. They've set minimum wage for women players. Now, I don't know what is the amount. If it's like how they say for TADA types, 300 rupees minimum wage. That could be one thing. But if you are going to give a high amount of minimum wage, add more matches to the league. And, you know, that's all in the plan, right? Will that deter investors? Because at this moment, a lot of them are doing women's football because it's not really that difficult, right? It's not too investment heavy.
They're doing it out of passion. They're doing it out of goodwill. That's it. Yeah. That's all.
It's not very investment heavy also, as much as the other.
Yeah,
so will this be a problem now when they move into that
thing? Yeah, I mean, might as well have given a gun to somebody and asked them to shoot themselves. Seriously, what? There are IWL clubs which don't pay their players, by the way. Right, because all of their money budget goes into logistics. All of it goes into logistics, right? I don't know what to say. I mean, and what is the minimum investment? What is the minimum what is the minimum salary? Help me out. Is it per month?
They haven't announced. So I'm wondering if it's going to be like a decent amount, then it will be a bit detractors. If they say it's 150 rupees per day, I mean, a lot of the referees get 150, 200 rupees per day. If they say this is our minimum salary, then it doesn't matter. Right?
Okay. So let's assume it's per day, right?
It's a decent sum. Otherwise, you can't make such claim, right?
Okay. Theek hai. Well, I'm assuming for a season it's 50 grand. Is that a fair? It's nothing, by the way. It's 4,000
grand for the whole year.
Whole year, yeah. And that's nothing, by the way, because I mean you're borderline poverty if you're earning 50 grand per year in India, right? 50 grand. I can tell you there are I-League clubs which...
I don't think it's borderline property. I think poverty. I think it's actual poverty.
Actual poverty. No, but India's below the definitions, obviously, of poverty and all. But I can tell you there are I-League clubs which pay their players 50 grand, right? So...
I can tell you players who paid I-League clubs also.
Yeah. So, I think this has straight come out of La La Land. This suggestion. I mean... It's one of those, you know, it'll make us look good suggestions, but in practicality terms, it's nowhere, right? In women's football, there are more women who pay IWL clubs to actually play because they'll get like university recommendations and all of this. So, I mean, what do I say? Let's see what that amount is.
Ashwa, there is no minimum salary defined for men's players. And I think if you define a minimum salary, it's probably not the best thing, right? Then you have to pay. There is some complication that comes with it.
You're immediately seeing 90% of Indian clubs shutting down. The moment you do that, you're immediately seeing 90% of Indian clubs shutting down.
Yes, absolutely. Vishnu, anything to add to this now?
Not exactly. I think I fully agree with the point that, see, again, that's the thing. Instead of improving the system or putting a new system in place, which is preferable in this case, you're talking about I'll change this point, I'll change that point. You can't change that without improving the system as a whole, because when you're, it's basically like you take something very elastic and you pull it at one end. If you're pulling it at one end, basically it's contracting at the other. So that's what you're not realizing. What you need is a completely new piece of elastic that stretches further. So all these suggestions, this is just going in line with a lot of other suggestions that come at a very developmental level, is that they're not exactly talking about improving the system. Like, yeah, minimum wage for women's football. Yeah, but who's going to pay this? How are you going to assist the clubs in paying this? What system are you going to put in place so that the club who pay, again, this is the whole problem with Indian football always has been that it's a charity that leads like one guy passionately spending all his money. How are you going to put in place in women's football a system that enables this person to recoup whatever he's putting in? So that is what they should define. You can give them it's easier to say because it's not AFF who's going to pay this minimum wage. So it's more like, yeah, it's saying me taking a New Year resolution saying Sandeep will lose 5 kilos. Yeah, cool. I can take all that, but it's not me, right? Who's going to
it's like me saying I'll stop having the occasional swig. I'm not going to do that every Saturday night. I'm going to hit the bottle. I'm gonna. It's inevitable. But my point is, I just want to give one point here, right? There are some IWLs which were broadcasted on Facebook, right? Not broadcasted, which were shown on Facebook, right? What can you guess? What were the average number of viewers for every match? I'll let you guys take a wild guess at this. Guess.
Minimum viewers for a match.
Average number of viewers every
50.
Concurrent, right? Yeah. Okay.
Sure. I was going for overall. But...
No. Concurrent was like, it was like 50, 60. That's it. And overall viewership was like 400 views every match. Right? And having worked in sponsorship, having worked in business development, you take that number to a sponsor and the phone hangs up on you and you get blocked forever if you go with that number to it. Right? So, anyway, go on.
So this our take on the whatever that they've come up with in 2047. But we will reserve judgment up until 2047. And at 25 years from now, we will do another podcast to see if we have actually done anything about it, or we have extended by another 25 years the development of football here. So be that as it may, Nadeem, you'll have to go back and check about 80 crore becoming 500. So, let's look at the actual matches happening. We can just talk about ISL. I just have to say this because that 4-0 victory over Mumbai, I did not see that happening.
Why?
I did not see it happening. I thought one way or another, I knew probably Mumbai was going to win. Yeah. But I thought Kerala, from all the matches that the Blasters have played, They at least had the
defensive resilience.
These guys just don't know what happened. They switched on the TV, it was already 3-0.
Yeah, they had a whirlwind 20 minutes. Yeah. And these guys had a really bad 20 minutes. And you're right. The Blasters have been more defensively resilient this season than we've ever seen them, probably, right? In the 9 seasons of the ISL. Right? Yeah. But this Mumbai team is different gravy. Like, I mean, Tess Buckingham is a genius. He's a fucking genius. Sorry.
Please listen to the podcast that I've done with Tess Buckingham. It's not in YouTube. It's in our podcast on Spotify. He is explaining everything about Chante and
Apuya and the work he's done with them.
People are so uncharitable. People are saying, oh, he just bought the best players from everybody. No, boss. There have been teams which have bought the best players from every team.
Taking a Mohan Bagan. Bought the best players, or at least the most famous players.
We haven't gotten them to play like this. Nobody's got them to play like
this. A lot of examples that has shown that you can buy the best players and you can still be pretty bad. So,
yeah,
if he's bought the best players and then he's this good, then credit to him.
It's like people who become over uncharitable to Pep. Oh, Pep, you know, Pep just a money merchant. He just spends on players. He does no shit. If that was the case, PSG would win the Champions League every year. Or City would win the Champions League every year, if that was the case. It doesn't work like that, football.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, ATK Mohan Bagan is going to buy a massive player next year also. I'm just going to tell it right now. Because it's happening. We know it's happening.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
So, and they keep spending this window. They bought Puitia and Gallego, right? They bought two more. Why?
That's
a
sizable investment. Yeah. That's the budget of an I-League club.
Why did you need Puitia? He is playing properly in Kerala Blasters. Why did you have to buy him? Why did there was no need?
The Puitia thing I agree with.
They needed a creative midfield.
They need
another team. I can't think of
anybody. They just need to let the players that they have play. Or let them go so that they can go play elsewhere.
There's an injury crisis at the club, right? A lot of them are out injured. I mean, it's like an emergency button.
Backroom stuff. No? Why is a team getting so many injuries?
I mean, now you're coming to the point where every club fails. Fixing your backroom stuff. So that's an entire different conversation altogether.
I don't get it. I don't think they need to sign any more players. But they have Pogba. Why did you sign him?
I mean, Pogba, I think, was more hype than substance.
Yeah, but you spend so much money on a guy who's not even going to play. I love Gallego. I don't know where he's going to fit between Bomo and their other attacking foreigners and everything. Where are you going to play all these guys? I don't think Juan wanted all these players. He's got a problem of plenty now. And he's in the situation where he just has to figure it out. Well, this is the pieces, now do something with it. It's like how I make fried rice.
I mean,
just looking, saying, these are all the vegetables. Okay, let's do this.
I love the guy go, but I thought it was kind of underwhelming that they got him. I really thought they would go big, right?
I just wanted to say, I just loved watching Mumbai and Hyderabad play this season.
Yeah.
They have been spectacular.
But I think Mumbai have taken it a notch above Hyderabad also. And I didn't think I'd say that at the end of last season, you know? Mumbai's, and I don't know what will happen when the two teams meet. But for me, right now, Mumbai's even better than Hyderabad.
This time was a draw.
Last time, Mumbai-Hyderabad was a draw, right? 3-3.
I don't know what the score was, but it was a draw.
It was 3-3. 3-3. It was the first or second match of the season for both teams. It was 3-3.
Now they are in the groove. Both of them are in the groove. So we'll see the next match who is going to be, you know, at a slightly better position.
Never count out Hyderabad, but I think I just put my money on Mumbai for this one.
I want to ask Vishnu this, like, because we came to this discussion earlier. We've gone to a situation where top six is going to the playoffs. And you have two up there, one there, and then couple here, then one here, and then the bunch of others who are trying to get into it. Do you think this is better or worse, that the fact that you can sort of push yourself to the top six, somehow make it, and then play tournament football and emerge winner? You can finish sixth and be the winner. Six is below mid-table, okay, just saying. Like, bang in the middle, 11 teams, six is not halfway also. So, what is your take on this shift?
I mean, I don't see how the fact that you can have a winner who doesn't deserve to be the winner is better. I mean, or good. I mean, at the end of the thing, if the best team needs to win. So, by some fluke, the team that is one of those also runs somehow managed to get into the playoffs and win over Mumbai and Hyderabad, then that would be like a pretty big injustice, right? So I don't see how it is better in any.
Now there is no Champions League also. Okay.
This is the format that might not last long, one star, because this is Star's brainchild. This is what Star wants. This whole playoff and final situation. Okay, so one day go, I don't know if it will, like, they want to keep this the case. Because, to be honest, they're just setting up all sorts of awkward situations by continuing with this. Hmm. So, again, with the recent reform, there's really no point to it. Like, they've it's the league winners who get everything. So... to be honest, right now I don't see what the point of this is. It's something that belongs to the base basket, if I may say so.
So I want to ask you this on the same lines.
Yeah.
Do you think because it's top six, some teams have pushed the envelope a little more, thinking we can get into it because you know the level difference is not that high this year. It's very close, especially from say 5 to 11. It's not that much. Anybody can beat anybody there.
So I'll just add a little more context to this whole thing, right? When the big league was started, and there were big consultants from McKinsey, BCG, KPMG, and all of them, and probably their sum of knowledge was probably less than the people who are living next to me, right? So they came up with market research which said India doesn't really understand the concept of a league finish, right? See, it has to be simple, semi-final, final, end of season drama has to be there, like a soap opera, for people to really get attached to it, right? That is number one, right? One of the suggestions they also came up with is that any match in the league stage happens in a draw, have penalties, right? Thank God it was never implemented, right? So coming to this season, right? Losses are more, and the commercial return for the big top four is awning gap between them and the rest, right? This is incentivization. This is saying, listen, not only do top four make money, top five and six will redistribute it a bit. Maybe the top won't get that much, you know, maybe five and six will get more. This is a bit of incentivization. This is saying, listen, guys, you also do better. So that, you know, so you're there at the end of the season and, you know, and you stand to make way more money than what you would have done previously by not finishing the top six. It also tries to, you know, keep two more fan bases in the fray involved until the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, the top six format is something I've seen in the English Championship, League One, League Two. That's the only place I've seen it, I think. Yeah.
And there is also, just because you mentioned this, I remember a story talking to somebody and who worked at the beginning of the ISL, who was part of that initial launch of the ISL. Mm-hmm. And I think they worked in IPL, the same team moved on to this side.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling me how surprised they were that there was an audience for the sport in the Northeast and in Kerala. And absolutely surprised that Pune and Mumbai didn't draw that kind of crowd.
Wow.
Just remember staring at him for a while when he narrated the story.
Mm-hmm. That's the sad part is these are the people who have paid crores and crores to look at Indian football.
Yes.
This fellow is a marketing guy. The AIFF or the FSTL should have got somebody who knows the market to say, boss, Pune, historically, football for top division has failed. Nobody turns up.
Coffin for top division football.
Yeah. And Kerala, 100% people will come. Northeast United, although you have bastardized it into a 7-in-1 sort of a thing, they will still come. At least in the early rounds, they definitely came also. They will come. And these two are the ones where you should probably focus on, you know, ensuring marketing does turn in other centers rather than the centers where people are going to turn up. So this was the level people were operating it then.
Yeah.
Now I think things are
that is reflecting. That is reflecting in the fact that Northeast have the lowest franchise fee of all of them. They didn't think the Northeast franchise was that valuable because they didn't think people would come. Hmm. It's only 12 CR that you know Northeast gives every year, as opposed to 80K, which gives like 18 CR every year because it's Calcutta. They thought Calcutta and Delhi. Calcutta, I understand, right?
Delhi, no.
So,
yeah. I mean, let's hope Pathan does really well so that John Abraham makes a lot of money. He can continue to invest in Northeast United. Yeah, anyway, I think We'll have another day to discuss I-League and a few other things. Today, I think we are pushing an hour. We want
I think big result. I'll just quickly say, Rajasthan United defeated Srinidhi. Srinidhi again looked very, very comfortable. Stopped today by Rajasthan United. So
as always, we'll have a twist and turns in the I-League towards the end of the season, which is always the case. And that is a league that has a league finish, and it's always thrilling also, the people who are actually watching it. So, right from 2014-15, I think they've had constantly had good finishes.
Last day, final day finishes. Except, I think, 1 year. Only one season.
I think Chennai ran away with it, right? When they won. Other than that, every year it was towards the last game day, match day, whatever it may be.
Minerva's year, four teams could have won it. Correct. Minerva, just four teams could have won it. Minerva, I think it was somebody else, East Bengal. And,
even Chennai's here, I remember, they only got confirmed in the second last game or something.
No, but they ran away with it. But they were pretty dominant in the...
They were dominant, yes. They were dominant, but even
second
they took it till the end,
So, if people want to see how league finishes can be thrilling, please keep an eye on I-League. I know they have made it very difficult to see it, but you can find it if you look hard enough. That's what we always tell people.
What is this life advice?
Valuable things in life. We should always work together. I think it's like that.
I think I can moonlight as a counselor also, saying all these things. Anyway, thanks Arko. Thanks Vishnu for your time. We'll be back again soon enough. I know we didn't advertise this, but I don't really know how to do all this stuff. And Naveen will be back to do all that thing. So, thank you. Hit like, subscribe, share, whatever, and all that jazz that you have to do to keep us motivated to continue producing content. So, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks, Vishnu. Thanks, Arko. Good night.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.